Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of True Crime Boulevard. I'm your host Bree, and this week we're going to be finishing up this little three-part series with the feud itself, the East Coast West Coast feud that played a major part in the deaths of both Tupac Shakur and the Notorious B.I.G., who we covered in the last couple of weeks. So like always, I want to give you a trigger warning. I'm going to be talking about gun violence, murder, sexual assault, gang violence. So if any of these things are hard for you to listen to right now, please take care of yourself and your mental health. And I'm sure you'll be able to join us in a future episode. And like usual, all the information that I use in this episode will be in the show notes down below. So yeah, this is a lot. This feud is very, very confusing and very complex. Like, everything is just so very much intertwined in the beginning. So we're gonna hop into this one. I'm gonna try to start this like as early as I can, like year wise, just kind of lead up to like what really started this feud. So y'all know that the focal point of this feud is Biggie and Pac and Bad Boy versus Death Row, blah 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 blah. So we all know that, but I'm gonna go back to the beginning. So like, hip hop was said to be founded in the late 1970s in New York. And for a while, East Coast rappers really had, you know, a monopoly on the rap game. They were known to be like the superior rappers. But around 1988, when the West Coast scene really started to bloom and blossom, you had acts like N.W.A. You had artists like Ice-T, who, you know, like Ice-T was like known to be like the first artist to put out like a real gangster rap song, right? So you had artists like him starting to come out in 91. Getting a little ahead of myself. You had rappers like him that were starting to come out. So in 1991, there was a rapper named Tim Dog who put out a diss track because he was feeling some kind of way, because a lot of record companies were looking at West Coast rappers. They really weren't worried about East Coast rappers because they were like, nah, you know, the stuff they're putting out, that's what the audience is going to. That's what people want to hear right now, whatever. He felt some kind of way, so he made a diss track. Dr. Dre would also turn around and make a diss track back to him because he was in Tim Dog's diss track. So that was going on. And then Suge Knight started Death Row with Dr. Dre. So at this point, like, everything was pretty chill. Tupac really just started to hit the scene. He had just released Tupacalypse Now, and he was really just starting to make a name for himself. Now, on the other side of this, in New York, actually, Biggie was in North Carolina because that nigga was locked up. He had just got out of jail, and he had made his mixtape, but he hadn't really blown up yet. He wouldn't really blow up until the following year when it got put in Vibe magazine. That's when, like, his name would really start to pop up. And then Puffy was in A&R working with Andre Harrell. So both of them were still trying to, like, really have their come up. You know, they were still hustling the whole nine. So we're going to fast forward a little bit to 93. Pac had been in a few films doing his thing. He released another album. He befriended Biggie around this time, who was really just starting to get his name out there. Party and Bullshit had kind of hit, and a lot of people really liked the song. So yeah, Biggie and Pac started hanging out pretty frequently. Pac was filming a movie in New York in 93, and he used to like hang out at Biggie's house, you know, the whole nine. Biggie used to go on stage with him, you know, letting him put his name out there, being an opening act for him, the whole nine. So they were really starting to build a friendship. Now, rumor has it, Biggie was gonna leave Puffy before Bad Boy and all that. Biggie was gonna leave Puffy because he wasn't making no money. Like, he was still standing on the corner. He was still hustling. You know what I'm saying? He had a daughter. He was like, bro, if I'm not making no money, like, I can't do this. You know what I'm saying? And, like, he, at this point, he's really, like, wanting to do this. And Pac was like, yo, I can help you out. Like, come join Thug Life, which was his group. And he was like, you know, I can help you out. Get your name out there. You know, you can get a good contract, the whole nine. And Big is listening to him like, all right, cool, you know, this is what I'm gonna do, you know what I'm saying, I gotta make moves or whatever. But Puffy ends up getting fired from Uptown Records, and this leads him to create Bad Boy Entertainment, and then he signs Biggie as his first act. So all that talk of, you know, signing him, going with Pac and doing Thug Life, you know, kind of ends because Puffy ends up getting fired from Uptown Records. So once he brings Biggie and the Bad Boy, Biggie makes Junior Mafia. All right, cool. They drop Biggie's album. It was a hit. Cool. Biggie and Pac are still cool. There's no beef at this point. By the end of 1993, everybody was in the headlines. Good or bad. And for Pac, it wasn't looking too good. All right, he had been in October. He was in a shooting with two cops. He was in a whole shootout. Now that got dismissed. But then the following month in November, he was facing charges for sodomy and possibly jail time, right? So, and it would be about a year before he would be found guilty and sentenced to prison. Now, throughout 94, everything, again, still chill, whatever. But Biggie and Pac had been talking. About 6 weeks prior to the shooting, Biggie and Pac had been talking. And there was somebody that Pac had been hanging with that Big was like, yo, stop hanging with this person, bro. Something not right about him. Don't hang out with him no more. Now, the question really is, did Biggie know more than what he was saying? We'll never know. But basically, he was like, yo, don't hang out with this cat no more. You know what I'm saying? Stay away from him. And he was like, you know, why? Biggie was like, we'll talk about it later. They never end up talking about it again. This was 6 weeks before the shooting. They never ended up talking about it again. Because 6 weeks later, on November 30th, 1994, Pac was called by Jimmy Henchman Rosemond, which was like this huge drug kingpin in New York, right? Essentially. And he was asked to Jimmy Henchman asked Pac to come into the studio to work on Lil Sean's record. He was like, I need you to drop a verse. I'm gonna pay you seven grand. Come in here, drop a verse on this track. And Pac at first was a little hesitant about going. He was like, all right, you know, I'll go. And he goes to Quad Studios to go put this track down. Now, when he gets there, this is what Lil Caesar said. I'm quoting this from Lil Caesar. Lil Caesar was one of Biggie's homeboys who was in Junior Mafia, okay? I'm quoting what Lil Caesar said. Lil Caesar says that they saw Pac coming in the studio. Biggie sees all of them. They all saw him out the window. They all leaned out the window, started yelling, hey, yo, Pac, whatever. You know, come upstairs, bro, we upstairs. Pac was like, bet, you know what I'm saying? I was coming up to go see, you know, so-and-so, but, you know, yeah, I'm gonna come up and see y'all too, whatever. So now, real quick, I want to set this up for y'all, so I want y'all to understand why Pac responded the way he responded, because it shit makes sense, right? So, in Quad Studios, Pac gets a call from Jimmy Henchman, who is upstairs in the studio with Lil Sean. Now, who else is in the studio with Jimmy Henchman and Lil Sean? Puffy. Why the fuck are you in the studio with these niggas? All right, cool, bet. He's in the studio with these niggas. Biggie and Junior Mafia is on a different floor in a different studio. So separate floors, separate studios. So when Pac goes in and he gets ambushed and C's comes downstairs, sees what happened, Pac gets pushed in the elevator, hands are going upstairs, back downstairs, a whole lot of back and forth, a whole lot of. He sees Biggie and C's and all of them. He knows Jimmy Henchman is in the building. So, obviously, you start putting the dots together. Biggie told me to stop running with the nigga. One of the niggas that shot me was the nigga Biggie told me to stop running with. That was one of the dudes that shot him. So, it made sense why Pac felt the way that he felt. And then, just to, you know, add insult to injury, he gets to the hospital and he's like, yo, there's still a fucking hit out on my life. I gotta go. So he skedaddles from the hospital, goes to court the next day. They tell the motherfucker, yo, you're guilty. You're going to jail. So he's out essentially kind of like on bail. And then the song Who Shasha comes out in early 95, right before he gets, you know, like he has to go do his prison stint. And like, he's like, bro, what the fuck? Like, you're saying that you did this. Like, it don't matter if you said you recorded this shit months in advance. Like, in my mind, nigga, you said you did that shit. And you was there, and he was there, and none of y'all niggas have come talk to me. None of y'all niggas have reached out. Da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pac was really starting to get pissed off because he was like, yo, nobody's reached out to me. So then, and Biggie kept like saying, like, yeah, bro, I'm gonna hit you up, I'm gonna reach out, blah, 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 blah. And Pac was like, nah, just tell me who the fuck did it. Like, who called the hit? Like, just tell me what happened. And, like, Biggie was like, nah, I'm gonna come see you. I'm gonna come sit out with you. And Pac was like, nah, nigga, just tell me what the fuck happened. Who the fuck did it, bro? And Biggie would not answer the question. So, you know, at this point, you know, Pac is really putting his guard up. He's like, yo, I don't trust this man, right? So, Pac goes to jail. You know, things aren't going good between the Bad Boy Death Row situation. That shit was really starting to turn into a hot mess. In August of 95, the Source Awards happened. And when I say that shit was just, that shit was more than a hot mess. That was just everybody taking shots at each other. Suge was going directly for Puffy. He came for Puffy's entire neck. He said, any artist out there that don't want to, that want to be an artist and want to stay a star and don't want to have, don't want to have to worry about the executive producer trying to be all in the videos, all on the records, dancing, come to Death Row. Like, he meant that shit. He said that shit with his chest, bro. Go watch the video. That shit makes me laugh every time, because he said that shit with so much venom in his voice. So there was that. And then you had, like, niggas down south coming out. You had, like, Andre 3000. You had Outkast, you know what I'm saying? Andre 3000. And them coming out and them just, like, being like, oh, y'all don't like us? Like, what the fuck did we do to y'all, nigga? We ain't do shit. The South got something to say. Y'all gonna stop disrespecting us out this bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, the niggas was hot. Snoop Dogg was on there talking about, y'all ain't got no love for us. What the fuck, bro? Like, what kind of shit is this? Like, it was just a whole lot of, there was a whole lot of arguments, a whole lot of fighting. It was just a whole lot of drama. So, a little while later, Suge Knight, his best friend Big Jake, go to Jermaine Dupri's house in Atlanta for Jermaine's birthday. And so, like, I didn't really talk about this because it don't make no damn sense to me, I'm gonna be honest with you. I guess Suge Knight and Puffy were friends at one point. I still can't figure out how the fuck that worked, which is why I ain't talk about it, because that would have confused the fuck out of all of us, okay? We're just not gonna do it. So I guess they were friends at one point because they were all kind of, like, near each other. So Puffy went to the party with his homeboy Wolf, and then Suge went with Big Jake, and they were all kind of, like, near each other, not necessarily, like, together socializing, but, like, in relatively the same area. Well, Big Jake and Wolf end up getting into an argument over some broad at the party. Said fight ends up, like, the argument, like, this verbal altercation turns physical at some point, but it all kind of, like, spills outside. It turns into this huge thing, and Big Jake ends up getting shot and killed at this party. And because of this, Suge Knight forever blamed Puffy for, like, it's your fault, you and Wolf, it's y'all fault my best friend died. So at that point, Suge had nothing for them. Like, when I say nothing, Suge had nothing for them. Now, because Suge is, at this point, is hating Puffy, like, hates Puffy, and blames him for his best friend dying. Remember, Pac is in jail during all this. What does Suge Knight do? He goes and walks over to Pac and say, hey, friend, let's make a deal. And baby, did they make a deal, okay? He made a deal with the devil. So Pac and Suge start talking and, like, kind of, like, becoming closer, whatever. Suge went and, like, checked on his mama, made sure his mama was okay, the whole nine. So, of course, Pac is like, yeah, my nigga, he been sitting in jail. He been fuming, thinking, you know what I'm saying, just marinating on his anger. And Suge was like, yo, look, come work for me. Sign with Death Row. Pac said, fine. So they made some little jailhouse contract, music contract, whatever the fuck. And Suge essentially bailed Pac out and let, you know, and flew Pac to LA, and Pac put out an album, and now he's taking shots at Biggie, he's taking shots at Junior Mafia, he's taking shots at Bad Boy, he's taking shots at Puffy, anyone affiliated with Bad Boy. Like, Pac is going at everybody. So by the end of 95, Pac has just, you know, fuck Bad Boy, fuck Biggie, like, he's on his rampage. At this time, he also meets Faith Evans, which is Big's wife. And I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the bedroom. I wasn't in nobody's room. I wasn't in the studio. Nothing. I don't know. But what Faith said, what Fifi said, she said they met at a party. And he asked her to sing the hook or the chorus to the song. And she said, sure. She recorded the hook. But he wouldn't pay her unless she slept with him. And she was like, oh, I'm not finna do that. Mm-mm, you're not about to drag me in this. No, sir. Nope. Mm-mm, not here. But Pac said all the same things, but it ended with, we fucked. Now, I don't know about y'all, but he made a whole song saying, I fucked your wife. Like, he said it with his whole chest. And then he stood his ground on that shit. So, of course, this now caused more problems for, like, Big. Because, like, Big was, like, not the most faithful nigga in the world. And I feel like we all know that. Hey, Kim. Hey, Charlie. Which, hold on, sidebar real quick. Because I want y'all to know, Big lost his everlasting god doggone mind. When he even just slightly thought that Faith was having an affair. My nigga, you was faithfully having an affair on this woman. And you mad? You yelling and hollering and screaming and breaking in doors and things? Sir! Men, I need my men to answer this question. Why do y'all do that? Why do y'all cheat and have affairs? And then if you think she might be, y'all lose y'all mind. Like, you completely lose your shit. Like, I don't get it. Can somebody answer that question for me? Because, bro, I don't know. It just, it doesn't make any sense to me. Okay? All right. So, all of this led to so much drama. There were so many problems for respectively on both sides, because now essentially Pac kind of had like a beef with Faith Evans, because like, why the fuck would you say some shit like that when you know that didn't, it, like, from her point of view, why would you say some shit like that if that's not what happened? But of course he's like, I don't give a fuck, like, I'm trying to rile up your husband, like, that's, that could also have been it, who knows? We don't, nobody was there. Faith has always said she ain't do it, but nobody was in the room, so I don't got no answer for that. So fast forward about a year later, things were still kind of hot and spicy, but around this time both Pac and Big, respectively on separate sides of the, you know, continent, had started having conversations with like close friends of like, yo, I think it's time we might need to bury this, like, this shit is petty, like, it really don't have nothing to do with us, it has more to do with Shug and Puff, and like, I have issues with Puff, but like, I don't have an issue with Biggie, you know what I'm saying? Like, that Pac being like, I don't have an issue with Biggie, Pac's issue was with Puffy, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Jimmy, like, those are the people that he had a problem with. It, Biggie really was just kind of like a side effect of everything else. So Pac was ready to kind of, you know, dead the feud, walk away from it all, but he was also ready to walk away from Death Row Records. Like, he had dropped, he had three albums that he had to drop for them. He already had dropped two. He dropped two and one. So that kind of cleared two albums. And then he had a third one that he was working on that he had to also drop. And then after that, like, he would be released from his contract. He technically wouldn't have to work for Death Row anymore. So he was thinking about leaving. Snoop Dogg had already left at this point. And, you know, Pac was like, yo, this is starting to get to too much. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting older. You know, I'm trying to live. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pac was in a place where he was like, I'm trying to live. But, you know, we all say Pac kind of knew that his time on this earth was short. He always kind of had that premonition about himself. So there was like a point where Pac said that he wanted to sit down, Shug and Puffy, and just talk and just end everything. But sadly, that would never happen. On September 7th, 1996, Pac was shot in Las Vegas, and he died 6 years later. Now we're gonna go a little bit into what actually happened, and then we're gonna go into the theory of who killed him and why. So yeah, so Tupac had went to Vegas to go see Mike Tyson fight on the Tyson versus Seldon match at the MGM, and everything was like pretty okay until the end of the fight. Tyson had won, but then one of Pac's friends or homies, associates, whatever, that was with him was like, yo, that's the nigga over there who tried to steal my chain, pointing to Orlando Anderson. Now, Orlando Anderson tried to rob one of Pac's friends at like a Foot Locker or some shit. So Pac's friend tells him, and Pac was like, who? He points him out. Pac goes over there, just swings on this nigga. Bop, cause of the day, right? Now, the nigga who he was fighting was a Southside Crip. Now, if you remember, I said this earlier, Shug runs with the Bloods. That's what MOB is. Bless it. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Fuck out of here, bro. No disrespect. I don't got shit to do with that. So after all this, whatever, the whole fight gets broken up. They go back to the hotel. And they're getting dressed up because they're about to go out afterwards. You know, like most niggas, they're going out. Somebody told Pac to wear a body. Words today. Somebody had told Pac to wear a bulletproof vest that night. And Pac was like, nah, it's too bulky and it's hot. I don't feel like doing that. And then his bodyguard was going to ride in the car with him, but he ended up riding a different car. It was a whole lot going on there. Just like, it was a lot of people. It was a lot of a lot of different moving parts. So they're driving down Las Vegas Boulevard. They get stopped because their music was too loud. About 10 minutes later, they're driving again. The music, I guess, was turned down slightly. But they stopped because there was like these two girls that were like parked in a car to their left. And they were talking to them. Car pulled up on the right. They started shooting. Pac was killed in the car. He died 6 days later from his injuries. Real long story short. If you would like to hear the entire story, go listen to last week's episode. So yeah, now we're going to kind of hop into the conspiracy theories and the what happened. So we're going to go to the OG theories first because they're the ones that make me laugh. So the first one is Suge Knight killed Tupac. How the fuck? So Suge Knight planned a hit out on Tupac while he was going to be in the car. Like, how the fuck does that work? Kill him, but don't make sure I don't get hit. Like, what? No. Make it make sense, friends. Make it make sense. The second theory is that Tupac is not dead and this nigga is in Cuba, chilling on an island, just living his best life. Possible, not probable, with the injuries he sustained. So, Now, the last two theories, they're kind of like a two-in-one. So the theory is that either a Southside Crip did it or Orlando Anderson, who was a Southside Crip, did it. Also, the fact that Keefe D, who's Orlando's uncle, said Orlando was the one who pulled the trigger. Also, the hood talks. Listen to the hood when the hood talks. The problem is, though, you can't charge a dead man. Orlando Anderson was killed. So, yeah, you can't charge a dead man. So, it's one of those things where, like, Pac's case will never technically be solved. It'll always be an unsolved case. But, like, you know who did it. It was Orlando Anderson. Keefe D said that there was Orlando himself and two other Crips in the car. The four of them, they were driving. And it really was just kind of like a spur of the moment kind of thing. They just happened to be on a boulevard. And Orlando was like, yo, that's a nigga that just jumped me. And he turned around and just lit the fucking car up. Like, it was just a retaliatory action. Like, that's how it went. That's what Keefe D said. He stood fast on that for a while. And then he recanted his statement saying, you know, cancer is why he's confused. I don't know how the fuck that made sense. Most dead men tell the truth. But hey, whatever. So yeah. That was kind of like what happened with Pac. So like, Pac's death really didn't have anything to do with Death Row. It really had everything to do with the fact that this nigga was a hothead and just didn't know how to keep his fucking hands to himself. Sad but true. Now, Biggie, on the other hand, that is a different story. So March 8th, Biggie decided he was gonna go to the Soul Train Awards in LA, which he thought would be safe, but because it had been Pac died in September, so like 6 months ish. I don't even think it was quite full 6 months, like 6 months, 6 months ish since Pac had died. I don't know why he thought it would be safe to go to LA, but he did. So he went. He had a good time at the awards. He went to the after party, blah blah blah. So around 2:30 on March 9th, Big was headed back to his hotel. He got in his car. Now, I'm going to try and tell this story the way that Gene Deal, which was the head of security, tells the story. And I'm also going to link it because I'm going to try to go watch how the fuck he tells the story. Because he uses so much detail. So much detail. So basically, Gene says that he got told the day that they were going to the Source Awards and going to the after party and all that stuff, he gets told by a friend of his, like, niggas are coming for y'all. Like, they're going to try to kill y'all. Just giving you a heads up. Like, if y'all go out tonight, just keep your fucking head on a swivel, bruh. And so he tells Puffy, and Puffy was like, Brian's trying to hear that shit. I ain't even trying to hear all that. And he was like, okay, so what the fuck am I supposed to do with this information? So he basically is trying to tell everybody, like, yo, they saying they about to try to come kill us. And everybody's like, man, shut that shit up. He told Puff, he told C's, he told Big. They was all, Big was the only one who didn't say shut up. C's and Puff both told him to shut up. So, fast forward, they go to the Source Awards, everything's fine. They go to the after party, everything's fine. Now, it's after the after party. So, remember the cops, and if you listened to 2 weeks ago, their Biggie's episode, cops and shit came to shut the party down. When they are trying to get everybody out the club, remember, well, you wouldn't remember because I didn't talk about it much in this episode. Biggie was injured prior to this. He got in a really bad car accident 2 days after Pac died, and he broke both his legs, and so he was in the hospital for a couple months. So he was walking around with a cane. So if you look at any of like his really, really like last music videos, he has a cane in those videos. So he's walking out of the club. He's kind of taking a little bit longer than usual because, again, he has a cane. He's injured. He's a little bit slower. So taking a little bit longer than usual. But, you know, everybody finally makes their way out. Gene says that while he was standing outside waiting for everybody to come out, he kept seeing this dude like pacing up and down past the cars, and the dude was giving him bad vibes. And so he was just kind of like, what the fuck? The last time dude walked up, he said dude was walking up like he was about to walk up on Puffy's car. And then Gene kind of popped up from around a corner, had his hand on his Glock, and was like, oh, okay. And homeboy turned around and walked the fuck off. Now, I'm going to try and explain how everybody was in the cars, because he does a pretty good job of explaining how everybody was in the car. So Biggie was in the car with D-Rock and Lil C's. And D-Rock and Lil C's. So Lil C's was driving. Biggie was in the passenger seat, and D-Rock was in the back. Gene was in a car with Puffy. Puffy was in the car, Gene, and there was another nigga, I can't remember his name. He was in the car driving. They were in front of Biggie. I thought they were behind Biggie. I said that in the first episode, that he was behind Biggie. No, the nigga was in front of Biggie. I don't know why I thought they said that he was behind. He was in front of Biggie. Puffy and the head of security is in front of Biggie. Why are y'all in front of this nigga and not... Okay. Why is nobody in security in Biggie's car is my question. But okay. So, they're all leaving, and like Gene was like real anxious at like with them leaving, especially what just happened with the dude who kept pacing past the cars and stuff, and what he had heard. He was starting to get real anxious, like, yo, we need to speed the fuck off, like head the fuck out. And so his car sped off, but Big's car didn't. And so as they're leaving, about 12:45, Big's car comes to a red light. When it comes to a red light, a black Chevy Impala pulls up next to him, rolls down the window, pulls out a 9mm blue pistol, and starts shooting into the car. Biggie was hit 4 times. Gene says what he heard was they ran through the first light because it was a flashing red light. So they kind of just like boom through that jump. And then they get to the next light, and he said he looked back and he could see a gun, and then he heard bow, 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 right? And he was like, yo, they pulled a gun on Big. And the nigga who was driving drove off, like drove forward. He didn't go back. He went forward. And he was like, yo, what the fuck you're doing? They got a gun on Big, bro. What are you doing? And he was like, bro, man, who the fuck you got a gun on? And he was like, yo, if you're going to carry your ass. And he was like, all right. So they turn around, they go back. So Puffy, Gene, and the nigga who was driving, them niggas was, they left the scene and came back. They weren't even there, right? Like, they weren't there when, like, the actual shooting itself happened, per se. Like, they were there, but they weren't there. They had already pulled off. Gene said he went to try and chase the car. They couldn't catch him. Like, dude went up a hill and then made a right and then disappeared. They rushed Big E to Cedar Sinai Medical Center. They tried to do emergency surgery to save his life, but he was pronounced dead at 1:15. He was 24 years old. So yeah, Big E was shot 4 times. It was the last shot that was fatal. That's what essentially killed him. So yes, Big's murder is a little more complicated, right? So depending on who you ask and who you talk to depends on who killed Big E, right? It's come down to two people. It was either Amir Muhammad or this guy named Poochie. So, retired FBI agent Phil Carson says that it was Amir Muhammad who was paid by Suge Knight to kill Puffy, and Biggie kind of just got hit in the crossfire of it all. And then it was covered up by the LAPD because there were people who work for Suge in the LAPD. Now, while that makes a hell of a lot of sense, because what I'm about to say next is basically the same thing, but it's a different person. Now, Mob James, who was a close associate with Suge Knight, said that it was Wardell Poochie Foos. Bro, don't ask me how to say his last name. It was Poochie who pulled the trigger. He says that he would win a whole lot of money in the bet. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's sure that it was Poochie. But it's also still in line with the whole idea that, like, Suge could have paid somebody to kill Puffy and Big got hit in the crossfire, expecting Puffy to be in the car with Big, right? So Mob James said that essentially Suge paid Poochie to go kill Biggie. I mean, go kill Puffy, and he accidentally killed Biggie, and then got the LAPD to cover it up because people that work for Suge was also in the LAPD, and it was a big ass cover up, which is why Biggie's mama sued the shit out of the LAPD multiple times, because it was a cover up. Like, it's blatantly a cover up. Like, I feel like that's the part that, like, everybody is agreed upon. But again, like I said earlier, when the hood talks, you should listen, because up until 2013, when Poochie died, everybody was like, yeah, we know who killed Biggie. We're not finna say who killed Biggie, but we know who did it. And as soon as that nigga died, everybody started saying, oh yeah, it was Poochie. Yep. Yeah, we all knew that. We've been known that, bro. What do you mean? Like, it wasn't hidden, especially if you was like a blood or something, and especially if you were MLB and, like, you ran with Suge and all of them. Like, you wasn't finna put him out there. Like, nah, that's my homie. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these people still have respect for what happened to Big because Tupac was killed. They were like, oh, that's y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, one for one, eye for eye type shit. So they weren't gonna put Poochie out there. The Amir Muhammad, the man is now, like, selling houses and shit. Like, he's like, I don't have nothing to do with this. He's never even done an interview. Like, he's like, I have nothing to do with this. Now, what Mom James said is Amir Muhammad, which is the other guy that everybody claims that they saw, he said Mob James was like, which y'all might have just seen is a Muslim dude walking up and down the street, which he's like, I'm not gonna tell you didn't see him. He probably was there. He was like, but he wasn't the one who pulled the trigger. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Personally, I think Poochie probably had more to do it. Like I said, when the hood talks, you should probably listen to the hood, because 9 times out of 10, them motherfuckers know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Especially when it's like, oh, he won't talk to the cops, but, like, yeah, man, I know who did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really how it was going down. So, yeah. So that's kind of how this whole feud started and ended. And ended with the lives of multiple people, but the two most well-known, Biggie and Tupac. They were both so young. Like, Pac was 24. You know what I'm saying? I'm 25. Like, bro, he was so young. I remember being young, like, listening to the story and, you know, quote unquote researching it. And being like, this nigga was old. No, this dude was young. Like, they were both young at that. Like, these were such young men. They died so young. They were both 24. So yeah, you know, like, that's just so very, very sad that this is how the story kind of went. And it was so unnecessary. It was all over miscommunication, lack of communication, unnecessary gun violence, unnecessary gang violence, affiliations to gangs, just all kinds of, it was very messy, you know. And like, this feud really changed how hip-hop ended up being, you know, long term. Hip-hop was essentially kind of like a political statement. It was telling our stories, and I feel like now it's just hot girl shit. And not because there's not a place for hot girl shit, obviously there is, but I feel like that's the focus of hip-hop right now. It's hot girl shit and mumble rappers that I'm like, what the fuck are you saying, bruh? I don't know. I give up. Okay, it's giving auntie vibes. I don't know what you're saying. Can you open your mouth and use actual words? Because what? Anyway, yeah, I feel like hip-hop is lost, and eventually we will be found. There are some rappers out there who are definitely channeling their inner Pac, their inner Biggie, and making music that, you know, is worth listening to and will last longer, last generations, because it's real, versus a lot of the shit that's out here now. But I think if all of this would have been avoided, you know, hip-hop would be a completely different game. It wouldn't be the same thing as it is right now. The legacy that both these men have left with just with what they've already put out, like what they were able to put out, the albums that were released, you know, after they died respectively, the music that was released, you know, it really showed their talent and skill and, you know, all that good jazz. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I've really enjoyed being able to do this little like series thing, breaking into three parts, because I don't feel like I have to like rush and cram like so much information into one episode. I can really like take time and like deep dive into it. So I really enjoy this. So if there's any other cases you want me to break down like this, please let me know. But yeah, other than that, thank you so much for joining me again. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I've definitely, like I said, enjoyed researching it and recording it. So yeah, I hope you guys join me next week. And like always, please keep sharing the pod. You can find me on Instagram at True Crime Boulevard #1. That's TRUECRIMEBLVD with the #1. Or you can follow Lil On Me on at _ Bria Daniels. That's BRIADANIELS. Or you can email me at truecrimeboulevard@gmail.com. If you have any questions, episode suggestions, comments, you just want to say hey. So yeah, thank you again. And I'm your host, Bri. And I'll see you back on the boulevard. Bye, y'all.